The world cannot offer peace. The world cries out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no solution for our sin in this world. We can look at religion. Surely there is an answer in religion to our sin and to our iniquity. And we look at religion and we find that in the religions formed by man, there is no salvation. We come to the Word of God. We come to Hebrews 7 and we see God's way and God's plan of salvation. For verse 25 says about the Savior, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
He does not grow weary. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Verse 25. And his priesthood is endless. It is unchangeable. And how marvelous that is that we can rest upon his priesthood. It is an unchangeable priesthood. It is a unique priesthood in the sense of Melchizedek. When we think of Melchizedek from Genesis chapter 14, he was a priest to whom Abraham paid his tithe. We won't go into this in great detail. Some have the opinion that Melchizedek was an Old Testament appearance of Christ, a Christophany. Some would say he was a type of Christ. There's a division of opinion. When I was in Bible college, we were taught in two separate classes, both opinions. And so that shows that there is division on this particular issue. Was he an Old Testament appearance of the Savior, or was he merely a type of Christ? It's an interesting question. We won't go into that this evening. But the priesthood of Melchizedek was different. It was before the line of Levi, the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. And so therefore, the question would be raised, the Christian has no high priest. And the apostle says they do, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hang on a moment. Christ is from the tribe of Judah. He's not from the tribe of Levi. He's not from the priestly tribe. He could be a king, yes. But how can he be the high priest? And the apostle points out here that in history, the history of Israel, there was a unique priesthood. There was the unique situation of Melchizedek. Verse 21, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have that in Psalm 110 as well. And so what do we have? We have a unique priesthood, that of Melchizedek. And Christ being after the order of Melchizedek, his priesthood is unique. And therefore, though he was of the tribe of Judah, though he was of that different line, he had a separate and he had a unique priesthood. It was separate in a sense from Melchizedek. Melchizedek points out there was this separate and unique priesthood, but Christ himself stands apart. The Aaronic priesthood, that of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, was temporary. They ceased to serve at a certain age. They were mortals who passed away, but Christ, there's no end to his priesthood. It is a unique priesthood. And dear believer, let us rejoice in what God has done through the Savior. Let us rejoice. We have a high priest. We have one to whom we can turn to. We have one who we can depend on, whoever lives to make intercession for us, who never ceases at this work for us. And so as we pray and as we struggle with prayer and as we show our spiritual weakness, let us remind ourselves we pray through one whoever liveth to make intercession for us, one who strengthens us, one who is our perfect priest. Secondly, I want you to consider that he is a sinless high priest, a sinless high priest. Verse 26 emphasizes some important truths to us. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. The priesthood of Christ is a successful and blessed priesthood because of who he is and through his qualifications. He is holy by nature. He is perfect. And he is complete internally as well as externally, typified by the high priest who was holy, but yet his holiness far exceeds the priest. We see that he is harmless. He is holy. He is harmless. There's no guile in his mouth, no malice in his heart, no injury to any individual. The Savior is perfect. He is altogether lovely. He is undefiled. When we think of the sin of Adam, that defiles us. We think of a newborn babe. And that newborn babe, you may say, oh, he or she is so beautiful or so handsome or so cute. And there's all this love placed upon the baby. What is that baby? A defiled sinner from the spiritual perspective. Yes, they may be cute and all of that, but they're a defiled sinner because we are born in sin and sheep and in iniquity. And that young child needs to hear the gospel and needs to turn from sin and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All mankind are tainted by that. But when we think of our Savior, he was undefiled. When we think of his incarnation, we can think of his perfection. We can think of his unique birth. Birth that through the power and mystery of God, the Holy Spirit kept him pure from sin. And we can rest assured, dear believer, that we're not depending upon a sinful man to come between God and us. That would never work. We're depending upon the sinless Son of God. And this is why the doctrine, the understanding of the impeccability of Christ is so vital to understand his person and understand his work of redemption. Christ was sinless. The theological term being impeccable. He did not sin. And it goes a step further. And that term emphasizes that not only could Christ not sin, not only did Christ not sin, but he could not have sinned. He did not sin. And he could not sin. We could think of a child with a stone, and there's a window. And you could think of the child, well, they did not break the window. They didn't do that action. But they could have done that action. They decided not to. But they could have thrown the stone. They could have broken the window. But they didn't. Our Savior did not sin. Could he have sinned? He was the pure and spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God. The one who created this world. The one who is preeminent and pure and holy. He could not have sinned. He was tempted. Matthew 4. But he was not one who participated in sin. He did not sin. And because of his sinlessness, because of his undefiled nature, he could be our Savior. And we depend then, dear believer, on one who is pure and spotless, one who is able to save us. Why? He has no sin of his own. The priests in the Old Testament had sin to confess. Christ, the great type of them, the great anti-type, had no sin to confess. Pure, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners, we see in verse 26. He took on the nature of sinners. He took on our flesh, but not that sinful nature. He was in the company of sinners on earth, Zacchaeus being one of them. When Zacchaeus came down from the tree and Christ went into his home, he was in the company of sinners, but he was separated from them. He was not of them. He was pure and he was spotless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sin. And therefore, our sinless Savior was able to redeem us. Tonight, if you're in your sin, tonight, if you know not the Savior, tonight, if you're desiring to know the forgiveness of sins and peace with God, it is not through yourself. It is not through a priest who is a mere man. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The spotless Savior, the pure Savior, who did not have to die for his own sin, but was made sin for us. He is the one that you need to turn to. He is the one that you need to rest in and believe in for salvation. And thirdly, we see then a sacrificial high priest. A sacrificial high priest. There was a once for all sacrifice. We see that in verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests, the Old Testament priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. And so this is the picture of the Old Testament priest. He offered up sacrifices for himself, sacrifices for the people. He came back to that. He offered up sacrifices for himself and sacrifices for the people. He came back to that and offered up sacrifices for himself and for the people. And he came back to that and offered up sacrifices. You get the picture. It was something that happened continually. He did not cease. It was said there was no seat in the temple. There was nowhere for the priest to rest. Why? He was continually making sacrifices that pointed to Christ but could not take away sin. But this man, this Redeemer, this Savior, did once, verse 27, when he offered up himself. The Word of God tells us as well that after this work of redemption, we see that in Hebrews 10, the verse 11, And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. The work was done. If I sat down here in the pulpit right now, it would be like, Pastor, what are you doing? You haven't finished. Stand up. Some might be glad to go and get some food. And they'll say, no, just you sit there. But the sermon's not finished. Get up. Keep preaching. The work's not done. And when the work is done, you can sit down. And that's like our Savior. The Old Testament priest worked, worked, worked. There was no sacrifice that could truly take away sins but the sacrifice of Christ. And when Christ paid the debt, when Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, as that complete and perfect sacrifice for sin, what did he do? He went back and did it again? No, it was complete. He sat down. The work was done once for all. He did it once. The work of the priest was never done in the Old Testament, but Christ made that once for all sacrifice. We need to understand that. Christ died once. It was an effective sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that you and I can depend upon. Dear believer, have that assurance of faith. If you're struggling in your assurance of salvation, think of Christ. Think of His finished work. Think of Him sitting down, and that work is accomplished. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The great high priestly work of Christ, O believer, it gives you and I a great assurance. It gives us endless salvation. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. We don't need to be unassured of our salvation. Dear believer, you should not be in a position where you doubt your salvation. I'm not saying that to belittle maybe the concerns you have, maybe the doubts that have entered in. I'm not coming and saying that you need to, as we could term it, wise up. That's not the attitude I'm saying that with. What I am saying is, because of what Christ has done on the cross, because of His priestly work, that work gives you assurance. If you would look at it and consider it and believe it with all your heart, there is assurance to be found. And therefore, you don't need to be in doubt. You don't need to be discouraged about your salvation. You don't need to go about each day wondering if you're truly saved, or even if Christ is truly able to save you. That doubt can be swept away. The devil wants you to doubt. Christ wants you to believe and to be assured of salvation. Oh, that you would believe in Him. The Apostle John, if we turn to it, 1 John chapter 5, he speaks of salvation. He speaks of redemption. He speaks of what Christ has done. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That ye may know. John here was speaking of something that he knew to be true. Dear believer, he says, you can know you're saved. You can know you're saved because of Christ. Because you believe in His name. Because you've turned from sin and rest upon Him, you can know. There's no doubt there. You can know. And dear unbeliever tonight, you can know the assurance of sins forgiven because of Christ and His sacrificial work. That sacrifice that was finished upon the cross of Calvary. And then finally, we have, fourthly, a victorious high priest. A victorious high priest. Christ offered up himself. Christ is one who saves to the uttermost. Christ died to save us, but yet he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Those are the words of victory. Of victory. We have a Savior, a high priest who saves. The writer of Hebrews declares the total sufficiency of Christ's salvation. We can rest upon it. He is able to save to the uttermost. And this is the conclusion. Verse 25, wherefore, because of all these things, wherefore, consider everything that's gone before, all the theology here of the great high priest, consider all of that, and because of who Christ is, he is able to save to the uttermost. And that's a victorious thing. We have victory over sin, we have victory over death, we have victory over the consequences of sin because of Christ. It is a victory that lasts throughout eternity. God will not change his mind. He will not alter his purpose to have the endless life of the high priest, the endless Christ, the endless priesthood. He will not alter his purpose and bring that to an end. Our salvation is guaranteed. The word uttermost here is a word that signifies completely or wholly in the original Greek. Of course, it's a compound word. The word pan that is used here, it means all. The word telos that is there, it's pantelos, it means end. And so the word means that there is a redemption to the end. The word for save, of course, in the Greek is there as well. He is also able to save them to the uttermost. But taking those words, save and uttermost, he can save to the end. There's a completion here. There's a finished work in view. There's a sinner coming on God's terms and trusting in Christ, and it is a successful means of salvation. There's a saving to the very end. Not a saving and being lost, being saved again and being lost, but a saving to the end. All because of Christ. His work is a complete work. Our Christ is a whole Christ. He is our great high priest and is able to save and able to deliver. Tonight, are you trusting in his complete work? Are you assured in your high priest? Dear believer, are you rejoicing that you have a high priest in the heavens who ever liveth to make intercession for you? Do you speak to him? Do you intercede with him? Do you pray to God through him? What a blessing it is to have our priest who has accomplished all of this for us, and we can come and approach God through him. Pray to him. Never go throughout your day without seeking his face. Rest upon him for salvation and rejoice in his work, in his power, in his person. And may the Lord bless his word to your soul. Amen. For you.
The English Baptist pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, brings us today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse 43. Thou shalt love thy neighbour. Love thy neighbour. Perhaps he rolls in riches, and thou art poor, and living in thy little cot side by side with his lordly mansion. Thou seest every day his estates, his fine linen, and his sumptuous banquets. God has given him these gifts. Covet not his wealth, and think no hard thoughts concerning him. Be content with thine own lot. If thou canst not better it, But do not look upon thy neighbour and wish that he were as thyself. Love him, and then thou wilt not envy him. Perhaps on the other hand, thou art rich, and near thee reside the poor. Do not scorn to call them neighbour. Own that thou art bound to love them. The world calls them thy inferiors. And what are they inferior? They are far more thine equals than thine inferiors. For God hath made of one blood all people that dwell upon the face of the earth. It is thy coat which is better than theirs, but thou art by no means better than they. They are men, and what art thou more than that? Take heed that thou love thy neighbour, even though he be in rags or sunken in the depths of poverty. But perhaps you say, I cannot love my neighbours, because for all I do they return ingratitude and contempt. So much the more room for the heroism of love. Wouldest thou be a feather-bed warrior, instead of bearing the rough fight of love? He who dares the most shall win the most. And if rough be thy path of love, tread it boldly. Still loving thy neighbours through thick and thin, heap coals of fire on their heads. And if they be hard to please, seek not to please them, but to please thy master. And remember, if they spurn thy love, thy master hath not spurned it, and thy deed is as acceptable to him as if it had been acceptable to them. Love thy neighbour, for in doing so thou art following the footsteps of Christ. We thank you for listening to our programme today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. Do think on the Word of God today, and we trust that if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you would make sure of his salvation. You would know with all assurance that you have been saved and delivered from sin, that you are walking in newness of life. That is our desire. That is our prayer, that as the Word of God goes out, as it goes forth from this station, from this programme, that you would indeed consider your latter end and make sure of Christ's so great salvation. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to joining you again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.